Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at UH1.com.
Hey, good day there, guys. What?
That's not what I was expecting to begin with.
Hi, good day. Bonza.
They're a little bit different to us down there. It's nothing to be, you know, poking the old stick at. You know what I mean? Just, you know, just talk normally, for goodness sake.
Hello, everyone. It's Jack.
Wait, what?
It's Jack from Cultaholic, joined by Ross and Andrew, or Bruce, as I was going to say. Because obviously the next big PLE is in Perth, Western Australia, and it's Elimination Chamber 2024. And what would the build-up week to a pay-per-view or a PLE be without a wonderful pitchers video?
Oh, he's feeling good.
Three Flamin' Galahs around this table.
Oh, right.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, so I'll join in the fun.
Yeah, fair enough.
Flamin' Galah, what?
You Flamin' Galah.
You Flamin' Galah.
Yeah.
What's that?
You bloody bastard.
Don't they say it on, like, Neighbours and stuff?
I don't know.
Flamin' Galah.
Flamin'.
Flamin'.
Oh, Flamin'.
You Flamin' Galah.
I hope it's nothing.
You Drongo.
Drongo, I know that one.
Sorry.
Joel, you got an impression you want to whip out?
Throw another shrimp on the barbie.
World class, world class.
Right.
Elimination Chamber 2024, and we're here with nine wonderful pitchers. If you've never watched before, we go around in a circle. Ross will pitch, then Andrew, then myself. We'll go around three times, and in the end, we'll be left with nine wonderful pitchers. We'll be voting yes or no on each other's pitches, but remember, at the end of the day, it's not what we think's going to happen.
It's what we want to happen.
Bowling Shine.
Bowling Warney. I was going to ask if we're excited, but I was about to jump straight in. But do you want to say if we're excited or not for the pay-per-view?
I like the length of the card once again. We've got two tent pole matches, not just in terms of them being the tent poles of the card, but also because we'll be erect as wrestling fans watching them because they'll be fantastic.
Yes.
Andrew?
Yeah, very excited for it. I like a chambray, as the French would say, but we're in Australia, so chamber.
Chamber, bloody
chamber.
God. it's my fault. It's my fault totally that I started this off. I'm excited for it as well. I'm interested to see the match order because convention would dictate that one of the chamber matches would end. But where's Rhea Ripley going to go? Because she's got to get the biggest pop of the night, surely.
Mm.
Send the crowd home happy.
Yeah.
When Australian hero Nia Jax wins.
Yes.
As we learned, she was born in Australia.
She won't win, though.
Yeah. Yeah, I think she was like on a military base maybe or something like that. She was a military kid maybe.
It's like she's been constructed by the military.
No, I think her parents were just in the military. She's not like the Terminator.
Like something from Metal Gear Solid or something?
Yeah. Ross, do you want to start us off?
Aye, I'll go for it. R-Truth is seen walking through the airport. The camera shot to begin with is facing him, so we see him and the background behind him. R-Truth walking along, he stops and he looks up above the camera. He says, oh no, I've done did it now. The cameraman, or camera person, sorry, circles round Truth, ends up behind Truth, seeing what Truth is looking at up above him. It's a big sign that reads, welcome to Austria.
Oh no!
It's a yes from me.
The show starts. End of pitch.
Oh, it's a yes from me. I was joking, but that's fantastic. That is fantastic.
I don't want to say it's a cop out because the card's that small and it feels a bit predictable in places. So, like trying to think of stuff to happen that's not too outside the box, that it's stupid, was a contributing factor to me doing that. But that's exactly what happened today.
So we're recording this on Wednesday morning. What time, when this week did you write this pitch?
This morning.
Yeah.
That's buzzing.
Between the hours of 9 and 11.
It might be the best pitch we've ever had.
Thank you very much.
It's up there because sometimes minimalism, less is more.
It is, yes. That's exactly what I was going for.
It's a yes from me. And it could also, in a way, lead to a feud with Gunter.
Exactly. If not Gunter... I thought you were going to say Damien Priest.
Gunter.
No, because Austria.
I thought Damien Priest could have bought him the ticket to get him away from the show.
Oh, yeah.
Could lead to a WrestleMania match between the Judgment Day and the Awesome Truth.
Yeah.
Gunter as well, yeah.
I could just see him taking great offence that he got his country wrong. Yeah, fantastic.
That's brilliant.
And I really like the joke in the original Dumb and Dumber.
Mm.
Where
Matthew mentions it a lot these days, I think. That's why it's fresh in the mind most weeks now.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Loves it, doesn't he?
The accent thing.
Yeah.
That's what it is, isn't it?
He asks where a woman's from and she goes, Austria. And he goes, well, bloody hell, yeah. He does what we've done for the whole first half of the show.
Pretty much. Oh, man, that was really good. That was really good. Everything that Jack's pretty much just said there, less is sometimes more. And in my case, it could be more is sometimes less. Who knows?
Some of the greatest novels or novellas in the history of literature are on the shorter side. So,
Sixteen of Sid.
Some are longer as well, though. So please, Andrew, enlighten us with your version of War and Peace.
My goodness gracious me. So we're going quickly to SmackDown this Friday, right? A little bit of a stop off before we get to Australia, not Austria. Kevin Owens is being interviewed backstage about the men's elimination chamber when he's interrupted by R-Truth.
Ooh. Oh!
Who says he's been looking everywhere for the Miz. They need to catch up and talk about the Judgment Day. But Owens, he quickly cuts him off and he says, I'm thankful for the assist last week, but for the last bloody time, man, I'm not the Miz. In fact, look behind you. The man himself is literally right there. He's looking for you too. Truth turns around and lo and behold, there he is in the flesh. It's the bloody Miz. There you are, Truth says, as he looks straight past Big Balls Boy himself and instead towards Peter Dune, who is walking to the ring with Tyler Bate for their match against JD McDonagh on SmackDown ahead of the tag team title match at Saturday's Premium Live event. And Truth is like, oh, you've got business again. I'll talk to you after. I'll be here. I like the new jacket, though. It's brilliant. Truth shouts. Dunn glances at him. He says nothing. It's a brief segment, yet perhaps it has a little bit of significance as we move to the Premium Live event. The New Catch Republic look to take the Undisputed Tag Team titles.
I can't believe that name, you know.
Weird, isn't it?
Tyler Bates' idea, that, was it? I don't think so.
Mm. Well, I don't know if you remember. And I wasn't sure who came up with it, but there was a tag team that Pete Dunne was in at our old place, and that was called, like, the Strong Style Collective.
Oh.
So I think this might be from the brain of Pete Dunne.
It might actually be, yeah.
Yeah, it sounds very, yeah.
Okay, well, the New Catch Republic look to take the Undisputed Tag titles from Finn Balor and Damian Priest of The Judgment Day. And let me tell you, everybody, it's a bloody banger as the tag team division continues to, as Ross would say, wartish up yet another set of gears. We get a litany of false finishes and close calls. Each team are completely exhausted, yet a razor's edge from Priest sets Dunn up nicely for a coup de grace from Balor. Balor heads up top, he goes to hit the move, but Dunn rolls out of the way, only for Bate to hit that lovely springboard lariat that he does out of nowhere. The big strong boy clears Priest of the ring, he hops on the apron, gets the hot tag from the Bruiserweight, and gears up to finish the match with a Tyler Driver 97 on the Prince. However, of course, as always, bang on cue, here comes Dominic and JD McDonagh. McDonagh.
Holiday. Here he comes.
Well, he's on a holiday, isn't he, in Australia?
We all are.
I keep wanting to say Austria now. they come down, they cause the distraction. Now, with the ref preoccupied, Balor hits a low blow on Tyler and asks Priest to slide one of those titles in so he can finish the job for good. Priest does as he's told, but as the Prince winds up to clock Bate with the title, who should emerge from under the ring but R-Truth? He's now wearing a Pete Dunne-esque jacket whilst also holding one in his hands as well. Truth starts calling for The Miz, a.k.a. Pete Dunne in this situation, right? He even asks Damien if he's seen The Miz around because, look, he's had these really cool, awesome Truth jackets made for the two of them. Of course, Priest is having none of it. He snatches the jacket from Truth's hands and he rips it in two right before his eyes before he slowly backs Truth up to be sandwiched in between himself, Dom, and JD on the outside. Now, inside the ring, though, Balor turns back round to hit Tyler with the title, but Bate ducks. He bounces off the ropes again and he hits the lariat. But as he does so, Balor also connects with the title. The two men lay in the middle of the ring, out cold, shoulders on the canvas, arms draped over one another. As this is happening, a recuperated Dunne goes for the moonsault off the turnbuckle, takes out Dom, JD, and Priest, and it saves Truth in the process. And this allows the ref to turn his attention back to what's happening in the ring, and he counts the pin. 1, 2, 3. But wait, Surely with both men's shoulders being flat on the mat, that, my friends, should be a double pin? Question mark. The crowd in Perth go wild, but then the realization soon sets in, all right?
Oh, bloody
How
hell.
How the bloody hell does this bloody work, mate?
What are they going to do?
What are they going to...
What are they got? What...
What are they going to do?
Yeah.
How does this work? What happens now? There's chaos, confusion, and as the footballers say, there's lots of VAR footage. This brings out Raw General Manager Adam Pearce. Pearce says that whilst this was a tremendous bout and a valiant effort from the SmackDown-based New Catch Republic, he has some bad news, everybody. Due to the champion's advantage rule, he has no choice but to award the match to the Judgment Day.
What?
Therefore, and still, your undisputed WWE Tag Team Champion. Oh, no. This is when SmackDown's Nick Aldis makes his way to the arena. It's straight like nobody's business. He stops Pearce in his tracks and he says, "Now hold on a second there, young man." Whilst he understands the importance of the rules, the last time he checked, one pair of those tag team straps are still blue and they've been held hostage for long enough. Nick says that he's gone to the very tippy top and spoken to Triple H himself. Now, with SmackDown's title scene looking a little bit sparse right now due to the US and UWU titles being in the hands of those who choose when and where they want to work, Triple H understands and agrees that there's a thriving tag team division on the blue brand that's getting stronger and hungrier every week. But Triple H also respects the rules. And as Pierce said, there's obviously a champion's advantage to take into account. So, after some consideration, I've been told... And still, your Raw Tag Team Champions, Finn Balor and Damian Priest of the Judgment Day. But your new SmackDown Tag Team Champions, Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate of the New Catch Republic, thus splitting the title belts. And then, as the Brummy Boys leave the arena with their new titles, you can get the Judgment Day. They start beating up Truth for costing them one set of the titles, leading to Miz coming out proper, chasing them away for a feel-good pop, which they can then build the awesome Truth versus Judgment Day match at WrestleMania for the Raw Tag Team titles.
Oh,
no. That's
I've just
not
got
a good
lots
sound.
Of conflicting thought. No, some positive.
Okay.
And then some that I'm a bit more,
ooh.
Kind of feels like the Judgment Day have been a little bit screwed. I don't know. Yeah, maybe.
They used the belts to try and take the titles away.
Yeah, but they didn't lose the match, but they've lost one half of the belt.
Yeah, well, they're arseholes, aren't they?
Yeah, you're a very fair man.
Gotta be fair.
Your dialogue's always full of people acknowledging that they can see the other person's point of view. However. Yeah. I don't know what, Ross, do you have a, I don't know what to say yet. I don't know
what is the
say.
Meaning of life? I don't know what to say either. A personal preference, I guess it comes down to, doesn't it? Do you want separate tag team titles on both rosters? Or do you want a pair of floaters going across both? I reckon I want a pair of floaters.
I had a feeling, because as we know, Andrew is a big fan of Pete Dunne.
I am.
I thought, you're not going to have him lose this match. But I thought you would just have them win.
No,
so
my thinking was, right, because there's so many good tag teams now. You've obviously got like Pretty Deadly and everything on
SmackDown. The Creeds.
There's separate things. I feel like if a heel team has the belts, and it doesn't mean that a heel team can't go after them as well, but
half
then
the
you've got more options with the belts being split again. I think both brands have really good tag teams now too. I think the division actually feels like it warrants separate titles once again.
I'm going to give you a yes, but not necessarily because I agree there. I actually agree with Ross more that I'd rather a pair of floaters as well. However, I think that while the Judgment Day have been tag team champions, the reign has been overshadowed by the overall story of the Judgment Day. So maybe it would be better if we had more of a work rate pair of belts with Pete and that was what it would be with
yeah,
Pete,
for sure.
With Pete and Pete and Bate.
Yes.
And Toiler. So... It's a yes from me.
Thank I'll you. Give you a bar.
A bar?
A bar.
I'll take a bar.
I like that the blue and red have gone.
Yeah.
But I'd rather have them become one than become separate. So that's where I'm different. Yeah.
When two big... Yeah. What happens with the NXT tag team titles?
That stays on the Wolf Dogs.
Do they unify the NXT titles with something?
Why would you drag the NXT tag team titles down like that?
I don't know.
That's the Wolf Dogs you're talking about.
I'm sorry.
No, as of last night.
I've not seen it yet.
What happened?
Careful now.
What happened?
Spear of Days.
It actually happened. Yeah. They got to call that fantastic. What a great
Sorry
name.
If I picked up there, Joel.
What happened to it? Why can't they just be called the Wolf Dogs?
I know.
What happened there? Always find a way to ruin it, don't they?
My first pitch concerns the men's Elimination Chamber match. Mm-hmm. And I've said here, so I think a bit of a problem with the build to WrestleMania is the World Heavyweight title match. Drew seems to be the heavy favourite to win the chamber, but he and Seth had several matches last year, and while Drew is a much more compelling character now, I'm still not too excited about the prospect of the match itself, the in-ring, because we've seen it quite a lot recently. So this pitch will aim to give Rollins a different challenger, while also finding Drew something fun to do at WrestleMania. Oh. Earlier in the show, at Elimination Chamber, a fight breaks out backstage between Bobby Lashley's almighty stable and the Final Resolution. I checked on Google Maps and the stadium is very handily right next to a body of water. Mm. So let's say the brawl spills outside and Bobby gets thrown into the Swan River.
Oh.
Lovely. If anyone watching is from Perth, looks like a nice river.
Must be named after Graham Swan after his...
He tore them apart.
Yeah. Spinner, former England spinner. Had great success down under about 10 years ago. A bit more.
Swan will take... Third, fourth, fifth day of a test when the pitch starts to crack and dry.
Is that when it's worn in?
The spin can
go.
Yeah.
Ooh. You get that rev counter up there.
Yeah. Everyone's scrambling to find a fifth entrant for the Elimination Chamber match. Right up until the match itself, we still don't know who it is. The other five competitors make their entrances until finally, just as they're about to shut the chamber door, Nick Aldis rushes out onto the stage. Stop, he says. I've found a sixth entrant. Bark, bark. Here comes Bron Breakker.
Yeah.
Who goes on to have a Goldberg-esque performance in the chamber match. At one stage, even spearing Logan Paul through a pod. Because I love that spot when Goldberg did it to, I want to say Jericho?
Jericho, yeah.
The match comes down to Drew, Randy, and Bron. Bron charges at Randy with a spear, but it gets countered into a swift RKO. But as Randy prepares to make the pinfall, Drew charges in and clobbers Orton with a claymore. 1, 2, 3. Orton's gone. Bron tries to shake off the effects of the RKO, but as he gets to his knees, he is clattered with a claymore as well. 1, 2. No! Bron fires up in proper scary fashion and hits a spear, but then Drew kicks out as well and both are down for a while. Whoa. It's like an All Japan classic. As he recovers...
King's Road, baby.
Yeah. He knows about that.
As he recovers, Drew spots a set of brass knuckles that Logan tried to use earlier on in the match over the other side, or like near him and on the canvas. He crawls over and puts them on. No, sorry, they're not on the canvas. They're on like, you know, the grate. They're on the outside bit. He goes over, puts them on. Oh, no, wait, it doesn't matter. I changed my mind. In my mind, I was going to have someone grab him through the chamber. Mm. But actually, no, he's in the ring. Sorry, everyone. He's in the ring. He's got the brass knuckles on now. He's going to use them. The crowd are not happy. He measures Bron, but just as he's about to strike, he's distracted by a sound from behind the curtain. Brum, 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 brum. It's not the crazy frog. Don't worry.
No. I wish it was. No. Oh, that's pretty good.
It's Bron's fellow wolfdog, Baron Corbin.
Of course.
Who rides his bike down the ramp to ringside. Drew is totally distracted. And him and Baron have history as well.
They do.
In fact, Drew's the only man to ever kick out of the end of days. Mm-hmm. Drew's totally distracted, allowing Bron to destroy him with a second spear and pick up the win. Bron celebrates with Corbin and they ride off into the sunset together on the bike. Oh. WrestleMania is then Seth versus Bron. And honestly, I think you might even have Bron win. This would create a new star and lead to all sorts of political intrigue between Aldis and Pierce over which brand he represents, because he's SmackDown now.
Oh, yeah.
But he's won the Raw belt. So that Aldis wants both world titles on his brand, obviously. Mm-hmm. Pierce's argument could be that Bron wasn't even meant to be in the chamber. It was meant to be Lashley. Although if Cody beats Roman, he could bring that belt over to Raw and correct the balance. The belts could swap over. There we go. Oh, no, wait. There was a Drew bit. There was the Drew bit. What about Drew? He faces Baron Corbin on the go-home Raw before Mania to decide who gets a spot on the show. Drew wins, which means that when Bron wins the belt from Seth and makes himself a star, maybe it sparks a bit of jealousy in Corbin, who never got even a match on the show and could lead to their eventual breakup, sadly. Drew, meanwhile, goes into Mania against a mystery opponent. It's a returning Sheamus, and they have another banger, which Drew wins, but only just with a cheap roll-up, which frustrates Sheamus after such a grueling battle. That's not the old Drew that he once knew. And so we beat on, boats against the current, borne back ceaselessly into the past. That's the last line of The Great Gatsby, which I've included there. I think because I found the Sheamus-Drew bit a bit melodramatic, so I did that. Just thought I'd throw in a line from classical
literature. Works really well.
Yeah.
It's got that.
Shout out to F. Scott Fitzgerald.
I like...
Good lad.
That pitch.
I'm more the Hemingway. Thank you. Yeah,
you're a Hemingway person.
Joseph Helicash 22 is the main one for me. But yeah.
Gryffindor for me.
Yep.
Ravenclaw for me.
uncultured swine. thank you, Andrew, for the...
You're welcome. No, I really like it. And I think it's with everything that's sort of happening with Bron on the main roster at the moment, I think it'd be a really cool statement to make for him to go into a big match like this and actually come out on top of it as well, which is really, really good. I think you've got some good stuff in there with obviously Drew and Baron having some history too. Mm-hmm. So that would make sense if they did manage to get involved somehow. I like it a lot.
Thank you.
I like it a lot.
I'm going to give it a no, Jack.
Okay.
But I like what you did there, but I feel like I don't want to rush Bron Breakker into the position he's being put in at WrestleMania because we know how quickly the wheels can fall off.
That's very true.
And also, I'm really on board with Drew McIntyre's justified arsehole shtick, which I think could go, well, should go into WrestleMania, in my opinion, where Rollins somehow gets like an injury toward another injury towards the match, and then that Drew capitalized on that and he gets proved right once again being a justified arsehole.
I think that Rollins might beat him and then get cashed in on.
Yeah, I hope.
I think so too. I think we've kind of like forgotten about the Money in the Bank briefcase at the moment.
Well, he can't cash it in.
He's got the injury, doesn't he?
Bollocks, isn't it? It's bollocks. That.
It is.
Yeah.
That's happened before.
Unless it gets added on to extra time after his.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Like the contract situations.
Yes. Mm. Yeah. In TNA as well. With Josh Alexander. Right. I did the news video on it today. Ross, it's your second pitch.
I've gone for a Grayson Waller effect pitch, which of course has got Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins as the guests. We saw during last week's SmackDown Paul Heyman lecturing Grayson Waller as if the Bloodline were dishing out some orders to the Aussie Idol. And that's the genesis moment of our pitch here. That's where the pitch starts and goes off into its lovely phoenix-like state. Waller invites the lads down to the ring and sits them down behind his table, and everything is normal. Now, I called you Drew there. Joel, we have a visual cue.
Oh!
The setup for the grid.
Why did I look
Wait, what?
It's only on the screen. I don't know what I'm doing.
I wish I had a little pen like Pat does on Raw now.
Oh, yeah,
as you can
yeah.
see now, the GYE table.
Stop that there.
Exactly, yeah. Stop that there. The lights are down in the arena. I don't know, it looks like that's when his music's still playing, but the lights go down when the actual segment started. And you can see the legs of the table are covered up by a cloth, so you can't see anybody's legs behind the table. And that's going to play a crucial role in this pitch. And I thought
how did you come up with this? It's a good thing.
In the middle of the interview, Waller screams, "Nah!" which is Australian for now. And a second later, both Cody and Rollins are looking down saying, "What the hell's happening down there?" Looking at their feet. Revealed then on the outside of the ring, on the floor at ringside, is Austin Theory with a thick rope in each of his hands. It's also revealed through the power of action replay that while the interview was going on, Theory, because you cannot bloody see him there, can you, from the hard cam, he slid in behind the lads and he's put a rope round their ankles and tied them to the chair, and he's pulled them tight. So now Cody and Seth are tied to their seats. Theory's pulled that loose, tied to that chair. Right, Waller and Theory start putting the boots to Seth and Cody before Roman's theme starts. He's not supposed to be here, but he is, because it's WrestleMania, and he should be. It's WrestleMania soon, and he should be. Roman waits at the top of the ramp, and out comes Heyman with a walkie-talkie in his hand, like he's back in the Dangerous Alliance with his big, silly mobile phone. If you know, you know.
That's good.
He's barking orders, and then around the ring, we see teams of people appearing with blue bar cage sides. It could also be the chicken wire look of the modern day, but this is pictures, and I want a blue bar cage. These teams of people are putting the cage up around the ring while Waller and Theory are laying the boots in on a defenseless Cody and Rollins while Roman is sauntering his way down the aisle. At the bottom of the aisle, with three sides of the blue bar cage attached to the ring now, Efficient Bell hits, and big dirty Dwayne is walking down the ramp, and he's got referee Charlie Robinson by the shirt collar. "Get down there," he says. Ooh. "Ring the damn bell," shouts The Rock. We can hear this on the camera as the fourth wall of the cage is attached to the ring. Obviously, all this paraphernalia has been taken out of the ring, and an impromptu beatdown ensues under the guise of a tag team match that we want to see, but we don't know if we'll see it as we're sat here on Wednesday, the 21st of February, 2024. I'd even like to see a re-injury. I've just said this for another pitch that Jack just did. I'd like to see a re-injury angle for Rollins ahead of WrestleMania, which will prove Drew right and that Rollins can't carry the show and he needs to save the world title and Raw in the process. Obviously, at one point during this impromptu tag team beatdown thing, Cody and Rollins are freed from their shackles around their ankles and launch a fight back. So we do get a bit of a back and forth match, but ultimately the deck has been stacked and the Bloodline's plan has worked to beat down the two people they don't like very much at the moment. This can be later called back upon in the promos that Rock will cut after WrestleMania when he helps Cody to win and take the title from Roman. Obviously, he wanted to test Cody in this segment, you'll see. And Cody passed the test because he fought back.
I was just testing you.
Yeah, just testing him. But yeah, we'll get some sort of... They hatched a plan. They told Waller on SmackDown last week, and that's the evil, diabolical plan that's launched at the Chamba Papa Premium Live event.
I love the uniqueness of it. I love the walkie-talkie. Mm-hmm. I love the imagery. And I love the prank with the, you know. But unfortunately, I am going to give it a no, not so much because of the pitch itself, which is class, as you said, but actually because I thought, what then does The Rock do at Mania, if not, right, okay, because I think that tag match is happening more likely, surely at Mania.
Yeah, night one, yeah. I don't know, just the closer we get to it, it feels the less likely it is. So I was like, we'll get it happening here.
I guess, because what happens with the World Heavyweight Championship then? I guess... If they do it night one, then Seth could defend it on night two
as
well.
Yeah, that's what I'm assuming.
I guess so. I would have thought they'd want to have like the World Heavyweight Championship night one.
It's a crap belt. No, I'm joking.
Whoa!
No.
Damn, wow.
You take your seat at
wow.
the secondary table.
Yeah.
I like the cage. That's a good bit.
It's because of the launch of the plan, weren't they?
Yeah, they were.
Home Alone, but wrestling.
So I quite like that you've gone like they've actually gone all in on an actual plan for this. The rope bit was tremendous.
It's funny that you mentioned Home Alone there because when you said you couldn't see what their legs were doing, I thought they'd stepped in. You know, in 3 when he traps him in those like Tonka trucks filled with like goo, and they can't move the.
So they've got wheels on these little
and
trucks,
like,
and he's
slipping everywhere. Yeah. Whoa! What did they do in the first one? Isn't it like tar or toffee or something, and treacle?
The second one, it's tar on the stairs.
That's
down
it.
The basement.
Yeah. That's very good. I like it, and bring back the blue cage. So do they bring down the blue cage walls from the ramp? Because obviously you've got...
They can go through the crowd, because apparently there's going to be
a
lot of spare space.
Nice.
It's been a constant email we've seen on the podcast every week. The ticket sales aren't going too well. It's that big.
And it's... As one email said, I can't remember the name, sorry, but it's quite a remote major city, Perth.
Yeah.
It's away from all the other major cities.
And Taylor Swift is somewhere, another part of the country, the night of or the night before.
She
I can't remember what it is.
Would ruin everything.
Could you
just goodness.
Show a picture of Opus Stadium, please, Joel, in Australia? That's Opus. Joel had a mare typing last week on the podcast. It was fantastic.
Whoa, wow, that's massive.
So they could easily walk down the pitch side there.
Oh, it looks like the Azteca.
There's more space.
There's the Swan River, lads.
Where? Whoa. There it is. Oh, that's very good. That's where Bobby Lashley's going to be.
Yeah.
That's a good 10-minute walk, that 5-minute walk.
No. I feel a bit deceived by Google Maps, actually. It'll be fine.
It's a massive arena, though. Look at that.
That's huge, isn't it? Wow.
That must be where they have the test matches. Yeah.
What is it? It must be one of the fabled ones, just now sponsored by someone.
Fair.
Just Perth Stadium.
It's not the Gabba.
The Gabba.
Yep.
Shabba. Oh, sorry, it's you, Andrew.
It's all right.
Interestingly, Ed Sheeran has the record of attendance at this arena with 73,092 in March 2023.
That's insane, isn't it? 73,000 people. Mm. Mad. My second pitch also regards the Grayson Waller effect bit. So, of course.
Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com. Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
The premise of the segment, right, is simple. Cody's going to reveal whether he accepts Seth's offer to have the American Nightmares back as his shield. But not first without Grayson Waller getting involved to plant the seeds of doubt into Cody's mind, of course. He brings up the strained history both men have together. The fact that Seth hasn't beaten Cody yet must get under the visionary's skin. But it's a good job Cody didn't come for that World Heavyweight Championship, because Lord knows Rollins wouldn't be holding on to it for much longer if he did. He also brings up the little fact of how the Shield broke up in the first place anyway. How could Cody possibly trust this man to have his back during the most pivotal period in his career? But then it doesn't matter anyway, does it really? Because what's going to be any different this year? Rollins is already hurt, so what can he realistically do to stop Cody from getting rubber chickened for the second time in a row? Which, if Monday night was any indication, is inevitably going to happen regardless. So whilst the tension between the two men is teased, they know what Waller is trying to do. This is his bread and butter, after all. Seth reminds Cody that this whole scenario is bigger than them both. This isn't just a story that Cody needs to finish, but one that we, the WWE Universe, need to finish together, side by side. Seth extends his hand. Cody looks out into the crowd as he says, and as he's about to reciprocate Rollins' offer, if you smell, blares throughout the arena. The Rock is here, and he is indeed cooking everybody. He berates the crowd, he berates Cody and Seth, and he says it doesn't matter if you two decide to make your little alliance. Neither of you are making it to WrestleMania anyway. Sure, Papa Pinocchio might talk a good game for his two golden children, but what's he doing for those vying for a taste of greatness? Well, let me propose this. Anyone that takes these jabronis out before WrestleMania will not only be provided for personally, but I'll make sure you get the biggest push of your entire career. And with Rollins and Rhodes looking towards The Rock at the top of the ramp at this point, Grayson Waller obviously takes advantage and he targets Seth's injury. Boom, takes him down to the ground as a litany of heels storm the ring to overwhelm the two babyfaces and beat them down. And watching on in pure glee, The Rock begins to make his way down to the ring. With Seth laid out on the canvas, he orders the heels to hold Cody up. He slaps him about a bit and he tells the American Nightmare to watch carefully. Now The Rock locks in the sharpshooter convincingly this time. It's not often convincing, I don't think.
Shade has been thrown.
And goes to town on Seth's leg now, with Cody trying to break away from the heels holding him. As Rollins screams in pain, The Rock lets go of the hold, approaches Cody and hoofs him straight in the todger, down under, some might say, before getting him into position for a rock bottom. Dwayne stares directly into the camera, he smiles. He's about to hit the maneuver. But guess what, everybody? That glass shatters and The Rock's expression instantly changes from one of cockiness to concern, because here comes the man that knows him better than anybody else. It's the Texas Rattlesnake himself, Stone Cold Steve Austin. The Rock quickly drops Cody. He rolls out of the ring before Stone Cold gets in there and he starts stumping mud holes left, right and center. He saves the baby faces before finally backing Grayson Waller into the corner. Now, obviously, Waller does his thing. He's like, oh, yeah, I'm just trying to barter my way out of this one. We're friends, aren't we? Oh, I like you. You're great. Waller tries to start to barter his way out of it. But of course, it's no good as he gets stunned, crossroad, and stomped for his troubles before Seth and Cody finally shake hands and Steve Austin raises both men's arms and looks towards The Rock standing in concern at the top of the ramp. I feel like with The Rock sort of, and the Bloodline themselves sort of bolstering their ranks, I guess, and trying to form like an even stronger alliance. Seth was saying that you can't do this by yourself. And then there's only two of them and a lot more of the Bloodline. And you know, with someone like The Rock, you got to bring in someone who knows The Rock very well. And that being someone like Stone Cold, it's also a cheap pop, isn't it, for Australia?
I mean, I was kind of edging towards a no, and then the Austin, it's a yes, it's obviously a yes, it's Austin. It always works.
Cheap pop, yeah, see, cheap pop. There you go.
Drink some Fosters afterwards, although yep, apparently they don't actually drink Fosters in Australia. And I like that second half. which saved and surpassed the first half for me, which is why it's a yes. But the one thing I was thinking was the whole, The Rock like putting a bounty on them. I liked the bit where he said, I'll give them opportunities because he's the boss. But who would it be? Like who? Would
I guess any sort of heels that you got. Mm. Well, Shinsuke, dude, give it to Shinsuke. I know he's doing stuff with Sammy, but give it to Shinsuke.
Oh, or he is like, doing stuff with Sammy now.
Austin Theory, obviously, as well. Grayson Waller, of course.
Karrion Kross.
Just heels that want to try, you know, get a one-up. And
Carmelo Hayes,
especially man. At this point. Yeah.
I'm annoyed, Andrew.
Yeah.
Because this morning I was in a rush doing my pitches and I was sitting there thinking, there's something happened recently that I want to include in my pitches. Mm. That when I saw it initially, I wanted to include in the pitches and I forgot it was Stone Cold. Because he shared on Instagram recently his Glass Shatters Disturbed theme with like a music video, which I left a comment if you don't believe it. I was like, this is your best theme, Steven. Got a couple of hundred likes. So
oh, that's nice.
And I was like, I want to put that in my pitches. Mm. And I forgot. So I'm annoyed because you've done it and it's good.
I think he said something like, oh, I'm not going to be there because the price of the beer is insanely high.
So that's what he would say, though.
That makes me think, oh, is he actually going?
And that sorts out what I do with The Rock at WrestleMania. Yeah. Just have them on the outside of the
enforcers and stuff.
The star power.
Yeah.
Oh, have Mick Foley come down as well.
Because that's the thing, isn't it, right? I think, I don't know if I read this right or not, or maybe it's just a fan theory, but the fact that the ending of the Cody and Roman match is possibly going to involve pretty much everybody that like the bloodline has screwed over in the past somehow.
Really?
In some capacity. To maybe like chase them off or whatever or save the day for
Well, The Rock will save Cody when he turns on them.
Yeah.
I did a video about this yesterday, so watch that, please.
Yeah.
Wasn't there multiple theories in the video?
There was. I was just all the little clues, which I don't know whether there were clues or it was just Rock just not being on point because he was a bit off him. But he was like, oh, Cody, you don't just announce yourself as challenging for the title again. Forget the fact he won the bloody Rumble, Dwayne. Mm. Like, he did that, though.
He did.
It's a big L, and he pointed at Roman saying, oh, you'll walk out WrestleMania a loser. While
it was
about Cody.
The camera shots did feel very deliberate.
Didn't they?
And I quite like that, though.
This is
well.
Like the Traitors.
I know, yeah.
And Roman, I think, wasn't Roman at the start, like, listen to everything that's going on here because we're going to lay it all out for you here. Whoa.
There's a few more clues as well in the video, but I don't want to give them all away. You know, on the Traitors, by the way, Claudia Winkleman. Because it was that like pale in Scotland, the weather. She used gravy granules to do her fake tan. She was in an interview with her yesterday, I saw.
Was she just been joking?
I don't know.
She likes a little joke sometimes.
Claudia. She's got me if she does like a joke.
Ryan will be delighted by that, Joel. Ryan's a big Claudia Winkleman fan.
Oh, we all are.
She's got lovely hair.
She does, doesn't she?
In that way.
In that way.
Imagine them two going out. What a power couple they were.
A power couple.
I think she's happily like married and has kids.
No, I think she's going out with Andrew on the side, me.
Oh. Wait, yeah. Andrew or the...
No, the Traitors,
I was going to say, the Welsh guy.
The big Welshman.
I haven't seen the Traitors. Is it good? Very good?
Very good.
Okay. It was like, it was good and crap.
Oh, it's one of them kind of...
It wasn't so bad it's good. Mm. It was good, but there was some elements that were like... Like the songs I found really cheesy.
The songs?
It's like they're watching Love Island, isn't it? They have the same scores.
Like they'd play like a song.
Oh,
like
they don't sing songs.
No, it'd be a dramatic bit. And then they'd have like a weird cover of like...
Running Up That Hill.
Yeah. all with like really indie singers. Who are, Women's Chamber is my next one. Oh no, you'll never guess what. Someone threw Raquel Rodriguez into the Swan River.
Oh, again?
Yeah. Maybe it was Jade Cargill, perhaps, kicking off before the show about not even being given a qualifying match to get into the chamber. It made the news that she was planned to be in the chamber and could play into that in storyline if you want. Officials try to find Jade backstage to stop this rampage because she's not just throwing her in the Swan River. She's throwing tables over and catering and stuff.
Into the river?
No, she's back in the...
I was going to say a little.
They might have to take a golf buggy to the river now. I've seen it slightly further from the stadium. But now they're chasing around, and then she's gone. She just gone missing. Where's she gone? It turns out she's under the chamber floor like Shawn Michaels, because this happened before the show, so she's got time to sneak into the arena and do that. And she tries to ruin the match by popping up midway through and beating everyone down, but except for Bianca Belair, who stands up to her, and it leads to them both crashing out through the door or part of the chamber wall. That's how Bianca gets eliminated, and it sets up a lovely match for WrestleMania. Back to the match itself, though. Who should replace Raquel Rodriguez, who is currently making her way out into the middle of the Indian Ocean with Bobby Lashley? Well, just like he did with Bron Breakker, Nick Aldis has pulled a few strings and brought someone over to Australia just in case something like this was to happen. And it's only TNA Knockouts champion Jordynne Grace.
I was going to say Indy Hartwell there. I was like, well, I'm ready for it.
Indy Hartwell. No, it's Jordynne Grace. And Andrew Gaspar, I said that as well.
Yeah, I was excited. I was wondering who you... I was like, Chelsea Green, maybe? Oh, no. Excited.
Not only that, but she gets to the final two of the chamber against Becky Lynch. But after a tense back and forth, the man comes around and becomes number one contender. As the chamber is raised, Becky looks at the stage and has a stare down with her opponent for WrestleMania, the new women's champion Nia Jax. I'm just kidding.
Oh.
It's Rhea Ripley. But as Rhea and Becky stare each other down across the arena, Jordynne Grace is walking to the back past Rhea, and they bump shoulders and they argue and get into a vicious brawl, which ends with them both crashing off the side of the stage through a stack of tables. This sets up not only Rhea versus Becky for WrestleMania, but Rhea versus Grace at whatever TNA's WrestleMania weekend event's going to be called.
Yo, you calm down, young man.
Yo.
I don't know what happened there.
Yo.
That's not my kind of lingo. That's what you did to me. The giat, as people say. That's a bottom, apparently.
Yeah. I beg your pardon?
A giat.
Yeah.
What's that mean?
A bottom.
What's that mean?
A bum.
It's the new internet slang. It's like the word you say when someone has a nice bottom. And then the kids on the internet go, giat.
They're horrible.
I'm confused
kids.
Now with bottoms. Because like Becky's talking about letting Rhea know what it's like to be a bottom.
Oh,
which
yes.
is like in the sexual sense.
What?
Doing that, yeah. Just laying down.
that was the end of the spot. Well, I had a bit in brackets after, which is that TNA hasn't actually announced a WrestleMania weekend event yet. But the past couple of years, they've done like the multiverse ones, which has people from all different promotions. So why not, now that the relationship with WWE is good, why not Rhea? Bloody Rhea.
Well, it's good one way. We're yet to see anyone of note. If they're going to send Natalya, is their peace offering the other way?
Rhea, go on.
What match would it be? Would it be, obviously it won't be like,
Jordan.
Yeah, well, I know that, but like no titles or anything, I'm guessing. On
champion versus champion, yeah.
Cool.
I guess, yeah.
What, the belt's on the line?
All the
no,
time.
No.
Okay, that's okay. I like it. Mm. That bit there, that was good. And I'd like to see that as well. Who do you think walks out of WrestleMania as the champion?
Rhea Ripley.
Yeah, I think so too.
You seen a 2K rating?
It's big. It's like 93.
Yes,
or is it 96?
Yeah.
Cody's is 93. Yeah. That's what I'm thinking of.
Logan's 90.
Mental.
Same as Gunther.
But he's good. Yeah, that's a bit mental.
67. I think it was.
Sad.
I think
67.
JD McDonough was 71. Dom was like 83.
Yeah, Dom's 83. Yeah, Dom's up there.
That's more than The Miz. 81, I think it was. Jimmy is 2 points worse than Jay.
Yeah, Jay's 90, I think.
So I think I said it wrong on the news video yesterday.
Is Jimmy like 87 or 88? Or
maybe a bit lower. Maybe it's an 86 or 84.
Yeah, maybe.
Ooh.
Poor Jimmy.
So it was a yes.
It's a yes. Yeah, I like that a lot. I think that's very, very good.
Yeah.
Ross.
I'm going to the women's chamber as well, but I'm going to generate some heat, baby. Gosh.
Sugar.
I nearly swore.
Wings.
I try to balance that between them.
Becky wins the match and goes on the field.
I love that.
You all right?
Yeah.
Can we get serious, please? It's my
good.
Pitch.
I'm sorry.
It's pitches.
Because the slogan.
It's like it's the year 2000 when it first came out.
Sort of is in Yorkshire, isn't it?
Becky wins the match and goes on to face Rhea Ripley at WrestleMania. It's the big time match I would like to see. This means we need to find something for Bianca to do around WrestleMania season. And she mentioned on Raw that she has an undefeated streak at the WrestleManias. Ooh, I checked this. This is true. She debuted at 36, Sasha at 37, Lynch at 38, and Asuka at 39.
Ooh.
I thought a very interesting point of that promo segment on Raw before the brawl started was the fact that Tiffany Stratton was visibly scared to go at Bianca physically after very easily talking some trash, some smack, right at her face. Instead of going for Bianca after talking the trash and the smack, she blindsided an innocent bystander in Liv Morgan, because obviously Tiffy thinks that Liv Morgan isn't as hard as Bianca Belair. So Tiffy is the last woman to enter the chamber match. She's the last one in her pod to come out the pod. And because of this, Bianca is just waiting outside of her pod. Why did I write this? Licking her lips like a rabid Wolverine.
Oh, God, wait, what?
Oh, no!
Wait, but there's Wolverines in Australia. That's what it means.
No, it's a Chris Benoit reference.
No, no!
Look at her lips like the Texas rattlesnake.
Look at her lips like Joseph Fritzl.
Bianca is finally going to get her hands on Tiffany because during that Raw promo as well, she was very like, oh, yo, I could beat you especially. Yeah. All of a sudden, Tiffy starts to hang from the top of her cage. It's like bars on the top of the cage. She starts to hang like a bat. Then the floor of her pod, it disappears. Uprises Jade Cargill.
What?
Into Tiffy's pod. Whoa. Who then, upon the door opening, launches an attack on Bianca, because that's what's going to happen in this pitch. I don't know why I said that. A couple of big power moves and a jaded knocks Bianca out and allows Tiffy to pin the lifeless body of Bianca to get her out of there. Ooh. As Tiffy gets into the cage, out the pod, into the cage to pin Bianca, she hands Jade Daddy's credit card and says, anything's on him, toodles. Harken back to the genesis of her character in the brilliant NXT 2.0.
Yes.
While walking up the ramp, Jade is filmed close up by the camera saying, you're not the only one who knows about a streak, bitch. Jade and Bianca is set up for WrestleMania. Tiffy goes on to have a sort of Seth Rollins Royal Rumble 2015 performance in the remainder of the chamber. She's the last woman beaten in the... It's like the Rollins at Rumble 15 in the fact that it's very good, but she doesn't get the win. And her and Bianca can then be revisited down the line. Ooh, so we get this Jade and nice. Bianca set up for a big old balls up at WrestleMania. Not a big old, big old Donnybrook at WrestleMania.
So you've had Jade lose.
No, it's not a match. She's in attire, I believe.
I got confused by the end. So the match is Bianca and Tiffany.
Tiffy's in the match, but Jade is just in there as a shoot, like, you
and
know.
And Tiffy loses, but in gives a good effort. Jade
is the diesel to Tiffy's Shawn Michaels.
Mm. Sorry, I got confused there at the end. If that being the case, then it's a definite yes from me. Oh, I like it a lot.
It's a definite yes from me as well. I like the way that we get there. I don't know how we're going to get there after... Well, I get, because I feel like the chamber would have been a good way to sort of kick things off.
I feel like it's going to be Bianca versus Stratton at WrestleMania, just the way that promo went.
Mm. Yeah.
I don't know what that means with Jade. Yeah,
Liv tried to get
in. Yeah, Liv tried to get in there as well, didn't she? Oh. She can win the Battle Royal.
Yeah.
The Natalia Neidhart Memorial Battle Royal. It's a card name.
She's in it as well.
Does the women's one?
It was going to be the Moolah one, wasn't it? But then it...
Oh, then
they changed it, yeah.
Yeah. I like that setup. It's delicious.
Cheers.
It's very, very nice.
Look at the length of this one.
It's a morsel.
I was running dry at this point, everybody. I'm not even sure if you're even going to like it. All right. So following on from the previous pitch, with the Grayson Waller effect stuff and The Rock and everything, we see the Scottish Warrior preparing for the men's Elimination Chamber match before we see him eyeing someone off the screen. He stands up and he clenches his jaw and he looks ready to Glasgow kiss whoever it might be when the camera pans to reveal it is once again The Rock. Drew tells Dwayne to get out of his sight unless he wants to lose some of his Hollywood pearly whites. To which The Rock tells Drew to, hey, just calm down. In fact, The Rock is surprised Drew isn't welcoming him with open arms after the peace offering he sent to Raw on Monday in the form of Jimmy and Solo. You might not be on good terms with the rest of my family, but I thought perhaps you and I could start off on the right foot. If Cody and Seth can set their adversity aside to align with one another, just think of what Drew McIntyre could achieve with a little extra help from the bloodline. Forget about the past, right? It's about the future, Drew. You're hearkening too much in the past. It's about what's in front of you, pal. That's what he says, just like that. A future where Drew McIntyre has his crowning moment at WrestleMania in front of a crowd. A moment that was taken away from you when you rightfully earned it. A moment that could last a lifetime, because no one will be able to take that world heavyweight title off your shoulder when you become the head of your own table on Raw. Think of it as repayment for what our family did to you and yours. The stars have aligned, Drew. Just think about it. And then The Rock walks off. Ooh. And Drew's like, and I was thinking, just because of what happened on Raw this week with Drew winning because of the help of Jimmy and Solo, and then commentary very much straight away was like, hypocrite. He's a hypocrite after what everything that's happened is a hypocrite. Yes, he did look a little bit conflicted, but maybe if it's a means to an end, if it gets him to where he needs to be to get the title, then maybe he takes all the help he can get at this point.
And the world title of Raw is saved because of it. I like it. It all makes sense with Drew, doesn't it? Yes, I like it. It's a big yes.
I like it as well, as long as in this pursuit of the gold, we don't lose his banter.
No, we'll keep his banter.
That's all good then.
It's big banter,
yes,
boy.
Me.
Absolutely.
Yeah, he's got a lot of banter.
Yeah, he does. He's great recently, isn't he?
Yeah.
My third pitch has a lot of banter as well.
Ooh, well, like
it's a little bonus segment midway through the show. Whose music should play but that of John Cena? He can't resist. Don't laugh. Why? Why would it be silly?
I don't know.
He had Austin coming out.
Yeah, I wasn't laughing, by the way. That wasn't. I was.
I'm still right. Sore about what he did at Money in the Bank last year. John.
I see.
He's a shill.
Whose music should play but that of John Cena? He can't resist a surprise appearance at an international PLE. Also, from his home in Yinchuan, China, where I assume he still lives to this day. It's only a short, and then I Googled it, 15-hour flight.
To Australia?
Northern China, so it's miles.
Wow.
The world's largest.
Unless it might have also had a layover. I didn't really click on it much.
It's mad to think, though, that... No, I'm stupid. Never mind. I was going to say, it's mad to think that you could literally get there to Australia in only 15... I'd say only 15 hours, but like...
Well, I because we're ignorant,
travel.
And that's the bit around the back of the globe. Like, you just assume Australia and China are right next to each other, but this is northern China, so it's miles. China's pretty big, actually.
It is.
Yeah. And Australia.
Yeah.
Right. John comes out and cuts a standard John promo about how great Australia is and he loves Perth and all that, but he's interrupted by the music of his number one fan, R-Truth. Truth comes out and can't believe that his idol is here. Truth and John do all the babyface things. They crack jokes. They dance. But hold on to your horses, everyone, because someone's not happy about this. Dominic Mysterio heads down the ramp and cuts a promo, but you can't hear what he's saying because the heat is presumably massive. Truth and Cena are amused by this, but they don't see JD McDonagh sneak into the ring from behind and take out Truth's leg with a lead pipe. Cena brawls with JD and gets him up for the AA, but then Dom slides in and kicks Cena below the belt, and the heels beat down John, and Truth's clutching his leg as the crowd rain down boos. Who on earth is going to save the day? You! Sorry, I swallowed some spit there. Here comes Chase U charging down to the ring, and the whole gang's here. Mr. Chase, Thea Hale, JC Jane, even though I think we sort of still don't really trust her, and Riley Osborne, who is just so excited to be there. Wow, look at the size of this arena. Well, he's from Cumbria, but I can't do a Cumbria.
He does talk like that, though.
Wow.
He's really optimistic.
Yeah?
Yeah. Oh, I can't believe I've got a Valentine's Day date with Thea Hale. Come on.
What a guy. He sounds chipper.
You would love him, actually. He'd be your favourite wrestler.
I like him.
Finally, to the biggest pop of the entire night, bigger than the one Rhea Ripley got for her match, bigger than Bronson when he won that chamber match, or in maybe more realistic fashion, a last-minute pre-show battle royal. Oh, they don't do pre-show matches anymore. Ignore that one. Bigger than the one Grayson Waller got for finally turning on Austin Theory during the Grayson Waller effect. I've thrown in little Easter eggs there. Here comes the MVP, Duke Hudson. Yeah!
Everybody. It is a big moment.
It is a huge moment.
He's 6'5", Andrew.
I know Duke Hudson. He is a big boy.
With his trophy as well, obviously. And he's not surprised by the reaction. He expected it, but he is a bit emotional. He's like, yes, wow.
I deserve this.
This is great, Mr. Chase.
Yeah. The faces send the heels packing as Truth and Cena recover in the ring. I like to imagine that Truth maybe has serious trouble with his leg, but they're all just excited to meet John, so he's crawling around the ring asking for help, and they're all like, John Cena. Andre gets on the mic and says, John, you've been the... I can't do it. He's got a southern twang.
He's got a drawl.
Yeah. You've been the focal point of so many of my lectures. Your core values of hustle, loyalty, and respect are the things we really try to teach here too at Chase University. Thank you. They all turn to leave. They start to get through. I know, but just wait. They all start to leave. They're stepping through the ropes. John goes, wait one second there, Mr. Chase. Those were very kind words, but please don't think this is a one-way street. All my life, I've dreamed of joining Chase University. So if Ava is somewhere backstage with an official NXT contract, would I possibly be allowed to join your prestigious establishment? Ross is buzzing about that one. Would I be able to join your prestigious? I thought you'd like that.
Oh yeah, I do. That was
it. Oh, it was an oh my god, yeah.
Oh my god, yeah.
We get John as a regular Chase U member and weekly NXT star. Not even really a main event one. He's in backstage segments in the lecture hall and stuff, and at one stage enjoys a short but happy tag title reign alongside Riley Osborne, that sort of thing.
And then he can like sort of, he can become the China China lecturer, I was about to say.
The Chinese language.
Yeah.
My
yeah.
God, I'm not awake today. It's an unbelievable pitch. It really is.
Oh, my God.
God, what a time.
When you... I don't know if anybody noticed, it was so seamless, but when you swore, I thought you were disgusted.
No, it was me just letting out a visceral, just off, laying on thick. I'm a slice of toast waiting for some Marmite.
Whoa.
Or Vegemite, because of Australia.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, if it's good enough for us, you know, it's good enough for me.
John's seen it in Chase U.
What? That's what I'm saying. Like, it's just incredible. So how could I deny?
You know, when someone does something, when a feud gets serious, or he's talking to another babyface and they get serious, you know, John's. I find it very disingenuous, but his serious "I'm listening" face, where he's like, he's like humbled by what he's like. Imagine that sat at his desk learning about NXT. Brilliant.
I'd like to see him in a lecturer position.
A lecturer? Well, yeah. He's one of the kids.
He can graduate. 5 to 10 years down the line when Chase used to live in NXT.
Cena would be.
Yeah, he's already got like the You Can't See Me t-shirt.
Oh! That's their tag team finisher.
There you go.
Wow.
The Chase You Can't See Me. Yeah.
This is unreal.
It writes itself. You've written it perfectly.
This was a filler one. I didn't believe in this, but we've all together brought it more to life. Wow.
I need a cigarette.
Well, there we have it. That was a good video, that one.
That was the best pitches ever.
from your minimalist effort at the start.
Oh, it was delicious.
It had everything, this video.
It did,
it really did.
Well done, everyone. Well done, Joel.
Come on.
Thanks. Go on, right. Well done, boys.
Yeah. Thank you very much for watching. We'll have all sorts of coverage going on as we build up towards Elimination Chamber. We've got WTF moments from Ross afterwards. We've got what happened out from me. Predictions.
Predictions, yeah, live on the channel tomorrow, and live reactions, youtube.com/cultaholic/live. In the UK, the pre-show will start at 9 a.m. So get your cereals, your breakfast, yes, your brews, your toast's ready, and we'll watch it together.
Absolutely. Check out Ross's video as well as we head down the road. What was the title again, sir?
5 Clues The Rock did on the wrestling in the Bible WrestleMania or something. I'm not quite sure what it was, but it was about 5 clues.
Mm.
He dropped them in there.
The thumbnail's him doing the L, isn't it? Yeah.
Went live on the 20th of February.
Well, do check that out as well. And leave your thoughts and opinions on any of these really good pitches in the comments section down below. Thank you very much for watching. And remember, life's a pitch.
And then John Cena joins Chase University and life's fantastic.
Yes. Thanks for watching.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.